This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We bear witness that none has right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send our love, our greetings, our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his pious and pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this waqt of Jumu'ah, to forgive us for all the sins that we have done since last week. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in the week to come. May Allah grant all of us success in our life in this dunya and the best in the life of the after. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on those going through hardship in this dunya and those who have passed away. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we are on part 10 of our series, The Etiquette of Disagreement. So we've been discussing this for long, at length now. And we were talking last week about the disagreements that we have between husbands and wives. And we list a few of the main reasons, or main issues that we fight about. And in reality, all of us, without any exception, no matter how pious you are, no matter who of the awliya that you are, even if you're married to, a wali from the awliya of the women, a khurul ayn, there will be conflict. It might be small, it might be big. And we said for most marriages, it's not one, you know, silver bullet or one fatal thing that destroys it. Yes, it happens, infidelity or something major. But most of the time, it's 10, 15, 20 years, or even shorter than that now, 2-3 years of disagreement. Inability for couples to resolve their problems until it collapses. So people that come to the imam, and they will say, Sheikh, I have a problem in my marriage. It's not really one major thing, you know, he did this to me, or she did that, khalas, now it's over. Rather, it's his mother, her spending habits, he's untidy, she's this, he's that. Small things, but have come to a place where we can't live with each other anymore. And this is really what, not only from a Muslim perspective, even in non-Muslim communities, divorce lawyers, they will say, this is the issue that really is the main reason why marriages fail. We cannot resolve our conflict. Because there's going to be conflict, there's going to be disagreements. How do we get past those bumps in the road? And we said in a broader perception, the broader perspective in this series, it's not, we were speaking about resolving conflicts with your parents, with your mother-in-law, with your siblings. We hope to get to the point where we as a community, as an ummah, ulama can sit together and resolve the conflict. Because you're always going to have different groups. You're going to have Sufis and Shias and Wahhabis and Tablighis and Atheists and Ahmadis, non-Muslims. How do we move forward as a community? We can't simply say everyone disagrees with me. Well, we cancel all of them. We eliminate all of them and then we can all think like the same. Never going to happen. So, as human beings, we need to learn how to resolve our conflicts maturely. And so within a marriage context, and maybe you need to think, so I want all of you, think about something which you are currently arguing or some disagreement that you have with your spouse and how we can apply these tips, these simple remedies, and it will either resolve the conflict altogether or it will allow us to manage those conflicts better. So some tips. So we spoke about the reasons why marriages fail, and that's an endless list of why people get divorced, from very simple things to very big things. But this is how you go about resolving a conflict. We said, and really some things I'll add as I go along. Number one for us as Muslims, number one, whether we're arguing with our spouse, whether we're arguing with our customer, whether we are arguing with a fellow scholar, the committee, whatever it might be, always, what is the beginning reference for a Muslim? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Why am I doing this? Why am I having this argument? Is it for the benefit of myself? Is it for the benefit of the deen? Is there something good in it? Is it simply an emotional thing? The minute before you engage in an argument, you need to ask yourself, why am I doing it? What's the niyyah? What's the reason behind it? Because we don't engage. Imagine, subhanAllah, just think about this. When you engage in an act of ibadah, which is good, one will say, you don't need a reason to make salah. Just making salah is enough. You don't need a reason to give charity. But before you do a good deed, the niyyah must be correct. Something which is good. Now, arguing is not a good thing. It's not a nice thing. There you need to check your niyyah even more so. Sometimes, and I say this maybe for our young scholars, we want to tell Buddha so-and-so about the mistakes he's making in the Sharia. Maybe, you know, he made a mistake in salah, or he's got an incorrect opinion. Are you doing this to genuinely educate this man because you love him and concern about him? Or are you doing it for your own purpose to be above and superior, to speak down to somebody? And that is something you need to check. The words you use is the same. But if the niyyah was wrong, then the result is going to be wrong. So check ourselves before we enter into any argument or confrontation with our wives. Why are we doing it? And number two, before we enter into any argument, keep in mind, ultimately for you as a married couple, for me as a husband and my wife, the end game, how do you win? What's the success? Is that your marriage must stay together happily. Right? You need to live together happily. And there's a way you can win the argument, but lose the marriage. You can be right. And you say, brother, you are right. 100% right. Wife is wrong. But the way you've done this now is you've destroyed your marriage. So that you win. You've won the battle but lost the war. Sometimes you can lose the battle but win the war. You can win the marriage. And that's why, now keep this in mind, not only in marriages. Apply this to your masjid committee. Two groups having difference of opinion on certain mas'ala. We can say, look, we can either have one side that wins and makes the half the jama'ah unhappy, then did we really succeed? Or we can come to some agreement that, keeps us together. At the end of the day, winning should not be more important than keeping us together. This we know for a marriage, for a family, and the same for a community. So you should always remember this. We should also, attached to that, is to prioritize our arguments. Prioritize issues. Now you're going to have a whole shopping list of things that you don't like about your wife. And she will have a whole shopping list of things that's wrong with you as a husband. You will have a whole shopping list as an imam, a whole shopping list of problems in the community. Right. So we look at, as the ulama, we're sitting at the MJC. We've got millions of problems in our community. You can't tackle all of them at the same time. You can't, when you give da'wah, for example, you can't tell the jama'ah everything that's wrong with him in Jumu'ah, one time, a whole list of, you people don't make salah, you people don't dress correctly, you people don't give charity, you're not, right? Eventually, you're going to destroy the person. This applies to your marriage, it applies to any time. People, criticism, when you criticize somebody, you only can give so much criticism before you destroy that relationship. And therefore, think about it. Every time you criticize somebody, you enter into an argument, it's like a bullet. Your gun only has X amount of bullets. After that, khalas. Can't go further. So prioritize the issues in your marriage. Okay, I don't like the way she cooks. But also at the same time, I don't like the way she interacts with someone outside of my marriage. Now what is the priority here? And usually what happens is, we can start an argument about which way to go to the mall. And within 5 minutes of a small disagreement, we are talking about your mother and the money and the kids. Everything is thrown in because we had one small disagreement. Right? We need to be prioritize what are the issues and attack them one by one. So resolve them one by one. And that's something that we as a ummah, we don't seem to have. And I said in marriages, yes, but even if I look at the broader perspective, you find that we don't discuss the big issues and focus on the big issues, but we spend hours and hours and so much energy on when to keep Eid. We fight on this issue. Is this really the priority? That one people keep Eid on one day and we keep Eid the next day. Is that really going to destroy the ummah? No. But there are issues that are destroying the ummah that we're not arguing about. There we can put our energy. There we can get hot and red and fight. But that's the problem. We don't prioritize. And this is a problem that we have in our marriages, in our families, in our communities. So be very, very careful in how you argue. At the same time, it's not healthy to ignore conversations. So marriages, many, I said this last week, many times couples have unspoken issues. Something that's eating away at the husband, eating away at the wife. But because they're unable to talk to one another, years go by, that builds resentment, that builds distance. Eventually that distance is too far. We don't like each other anymore. We don't love one another. So be brave enough. And this is why many marriages fail in the first few years. Because you just came from... courting is not permissible. I mean, courting incorrectly is haram. But usually even those who court in the Western way, and they spend many months or years booking by the girl, they never spoke real issues It was all about love and romance. They didn't discuss real issues. They got married. It was all fun and games. Honeymoon period. Now real decisions come, have to be made. Money decisions, family decisions. Where we're going to live. These decisions, these questions come up. And now you realize you have to confront, you have to now talk. And if you haven't, if you don't have the courage to do that. We spoke about intimacy last week. If you have some desire, some fantasy that is not being fulfilled, the one person on this dunya that can fulfill that fantasy, your wife, your husband, you must be brave enough to speak it, to mention it. A lot of times, sometimes worse than a marriage that is constantly in argumentation, is a marriage where both parties don't talk. There's always this elephant in the room. I don't mean your mother-in-law. There's always this elephant in the room that is not being spoken about. And that's the issue. Be brave enough to discuss it. And like we said last week, most of the times we engage in a confrontation, argumentation, wrong time, wrong place. In the shopping mall, So husband is on his mind, Bills are too high, So things are, the money is not where it should be. Now he never engaged his wife. And now she goes, she's unaware of this problem. They go for shopping on Saturday, and she's just filling the trolley. And slowly that blood pressure is building. Eventually she takes that Lindt chocolate instead of the Cadbury chocolate, and there he explodes in the shopping mall. The wrong time, wrong place. Be very, very, when we want to discuss things, and I made a joke last week. I said, we understand this when it comes to the Masjid Committee. And we understand this when it's in our workplace. That when we're going to give some negative feedback, it's never a nice thing. We schedule some time. We prepare. We have the box of tissues there. Everything is, because we're going to have not a nice conversation. With our spouses, we should do the same. Understand when is the right time to pick up this issue. You have to talk about it. Also, how and, not publicly. You can never, ever, ever, we never give bad feedback to somebody publicly. This is in our Sharia. You'd find, subhanAllah, you look at the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Very seldomly did he criticize somebody publicly. He would criticize if something was done publicly, then okay, he spoke out against it publicly. But how many people came to him about questions or mistakes? And you don't find hadith about that. But you find endless hadith about him praising someone publicly. Always praise your partner, your spouse, your employees, your boss, your customer, whatever, publicly. When there's negative feedback, do it privately. Schedule the time. And I said, think carefully in how you want to say it. Most of our arguments, especially with our spouses, is purely emotional. It's simply about frustration that I get out. And that doesn't solve a problem. That does not solve the problem. So if you're the one that's initiating the argument, or not the argument, the negative feedback, let's call it. You're the one that wants to talk about, I'm not happy with where the kids are at school. And the wife, for example, husband, I don't feel you giving enough time. Right? That's my problem. So now, be very clear how you want. Prepare yourself before you give this feedback. Instead of saying, Aisha, you're a bad mother. You start off like that, khalas. No matter what follows after that, it's just going to be abuse. Rather you begin, select a time, a place that's appropriate. Begin with the positives, speak the good and say, you do all these things for the family. This is all the good things you do. As for the concern I have, this is the problem. And I feel Ahmed needs more time, less time with the TV, whatever. You at home, how can we work on it together? Now you have a productive discussion rather than an emotional argument, an emotional punching match. And therefore, you need to sometimes write this down. Sometimes we have all these ideas in our head, and the minute you need to talk, khalas, then you don't know what to say. I've seen that as an imam as well. Person's on the phone, we need time with you, Sheikh. Schedule. When can you have? Okay, finally we schedule a meeting. SubhanAllah, I've had meetings 11 o'clock at Woolworth's office in the evening with people. Right? Something so urgent. And you get there, okay, what's the problem? Sheikh, I don't know how to say it. I don't know what to say. We're here now. What now? I don't know what to say. It's just, the emotion is too much now. And it's a good idea never ever to have these kind of discussions when it's heightened emotions. And this applies, as I say, subhanAllah, even for our ulama, sometimes we see the jama'ah making mistakes, The guy is making something wrong, saying something wrong. Don't tell that man about the mistakes and the sins he's doing at the janazah of his father. Now you want to say, Buddha, this is bid'ah and that. No, subhanAllah, yes, you're right, it is bid'ah maybe. It is wrong. But at the janazah is not the right time. You should have taught him that a year ago. or discuss this issue afterwards. You know, once the Prophet ﷺ, after the Battle of Uhud, I believe, a lady lost a few of her sons and she's sitting there crying. So the Prophet comes to console her. And she said basically to him, well, who are you and what do you know? Like, to the Prophet ﷺ. It was an act of kufr. Sahaba got worked up, got upset. The Prophet said, leave her. She's emotional now. She doesn't understand what she's saying. She doesn't mean these things she's saying. Right? And that's why heightened emotions vary. Times of heightened emotions, not a good time. And if you see it's getting heated, perhaps it's a good time to say, let's adjourn. Let's just take a break. Let's just take a breather. Sometimes it even means in a marriage especially, sometimes where it's constantly this emotion, just being in each other's presence, it's hot. Then separation, temporary separation might be a good thing. You know, it's like a boxing match. You need a time out. Each one just needs to recover. And I just had a discussion with, you know, people. You know, I went through a very hectic period at work. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm not at home. So obviously the wife is frustrated. That is not the ideal time for both of us to start talking about big issues. You know, what's the kids going to do next year? Not the ideal time. Because we're both not in a good frame of mind. You have to be in a good space positively to receive criticism. Now, when you've been working long hours, you don't have any more energy to hear about you not picking up your clothes. You don't have any further energy to hear about, well, you're not there when we need you. That's not the right time. Wait till afterwards and then discuss. So never speak in anger. The Prophet teaches us, say something which is positive or remain silent, something which is good. And many times you find that Rasulullah ﷺ, he had to give negative feedback. He had to do it. This is his job, he's a Nabi. And he would sometimes, there was Sahaba would say, the harshest thing he would say was to remain silent. They would see his disapproval simply by keeping quiet and looking away. He wouldn't look at you. Now you knew, okay, I made a mistake. But that was why he was so shy to break someone's heart by giving them negative feedback. That's his job. Some of us, we get a kick out of belittling people. Ulama get a kick sometimes out of making you feel inferior. That's wrong. That's wrong. Sending everyone to Jahannam. It's wrong. It's not the way the Prophet did it. So understand, and this is number 7, naturally a disagreement comes from an expectation gap. What do I mean by this? You see the world one way, she sees the world the other way. Right? I grew up in a household where a woman did XYZ. Well, I grew in a household where my dad did those things. I grew up in a household where we spend money like this. I grew up in a household. Each one has their own perceptions, their own way. There is no right and wrong. There is no right way or wrong way many a times. Each one has genuine points. And therefore you need to, you as a husband or as a wife or as an imam, or whatever it is, when you have a disagreement with someone, try to understand why do these people keep Eid with Makkah? Doesn't make sense to me. Try to understand for your own purpose. Let me look at the arguments. Why do these people, I mean, subhanAllah, even though I'm very clear on where I stand on my positions, you know, that it's one of the major sins, if not kufr, to curse the Sahaba. But understand, why do these people insult Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Let's understand the issue before we get emotional. And it is an emotional argument, and we should be emotional. But understand, what is the crux of the matter? Once you understand it, I'm not saying change your position. You can say, okay, now I understand the debate. Now I have an informed position. Now I can say, I still disagree with you. I still think you're wrong because of these reasons. It's not just emotional. It's not just emotional. Right? And I think this is a debate, when we debate deen issues, when we debate in our marriages, it's more about emotionally attacking rather than logically looking at the points. So when you're in your marriage, listen not for the sake of finding a counter. Every point she makes, but I can counter. She says, you're never there. Well, I have a screenshot where I was home at 5 o'clock 2 weeks ago. Right? So you're wrong. No. Try to listen. Okay. What is her argument? What's his argument? And understand, to see things their side. And wallahi, when you do this, in most issues that I found, from a religious and a personal side, you will if you genuinely listen to understand, you will sympathize more with that person. You won't change your view. Many times you don't change your view, but you say, you know what? They have a point. She's got a point there. You know, those Makkis who keep eating on Makkah, they've got a point. I don't agree with them. I still think they're not so right. But I agree with them. It's got some points. And that's the way we go. Hanafis, and especially madhab issues, which is a non-issue. When you understand why the Shafi'is say this, why the Hanafis say that, understand the evidence, you will respect it. So, it's not about, this is a golden rule. It's not about resolving your conflict means I need to change my view to be with them. It's about respecting their view by still keeping your opinion. Or respecting that person. Now we've gone a step further. We don't respect the view. And because we don't respect your view on Eid, we don't respect you as a person as well. That's bad. You don't judge the person on this issue. But that's what we've done. Because you eat MJC certified food and not this thing, I disagree with you on this issue, okay, but because of that, I question your iman, I question you as a person, as a Muslim, and that's how it goes. Because you keep maulid on a certain night, and I think this is a bid'ah, so I disagree on this issue, but now you're a bid'ati, you don't love the sunnah, and it goes on and on and on. That is our problem. That is our problem in how we address these issues. So once you have accepted that that person has valid, genuine points, you will genuinely understand and respect that person. Now in marriage, and perhaps even in where we've gone with our scholarly debates, we've gone to understand, and this is very important in marriage, there's two languages, and there's a very good course coming up, not next week, Sheikh Yasir Qadi is coming next week, the week after that, there's a course called Home Sweet Home. And there's a language between husband and wives. For those who have just recently got married, you're learning now that there's two different, there's a language and there's a subcontext. You come in at home and you say, how are you, sweetie? Fine, I'm fine. You know that doesn't mean she's okay. There's a different, all the older married men are laughing. The non-married men look confused. Fine means fine. What's wrong with that? Right? There's a subcontext here. And many a times you need to also, as a man, particularly a man, because we talk in generalities. And in Islam, it's general. That look, men are less emotional than females. Usually, it could be, there are exceptions to that. So most of the time, your wife will speak out of emotion. Her frustration is an emotional one. She doesn't want you to solve a problem. I found this out the hard way. So our wife has been frustrated because of something at work or some person in her life. Now she goes and says, this person did this and did that to me. I said, no, she maybe didn't mean that. Maybe you misunderstood her. She wasn't, oh, now I become the bad guy. So you take her side, not my side. She didn't want to actually fix a problem. She just wanted to share her frustrations. So an emotional argument, you come home late from work. Wife is very upset. Where were you? I can't sleep. The kids, blah, 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 blah. You can say, well, I'm at work. I'm doing all these things. I'm here. You can get frustrated. Or you could say, you know what? I miss you too. Now that I'm home, I'm happy. Khalas, argument done. So be very, very careful. When you debate an emotional argument, logic will never work. You can list an entire spreadsheet of pros and cons. Why this is right. But when it comes from an emotional base, it's not going to work. You need to win that argument on emotional base. So she says, I don't feel accepted or loved by your mother. You can list a whole spreadsheet on how great of a wali my mom is. Not going to work. But rather you can try and bridge that gap. And from an emotional perspective, you know, mom said this thing that your cooking was quite nice that day. Ah, now it's opening up. From an emotional standpoint, things are getting better. So in your marriage, if you have reoccurring problems, ask yourself, is this really a problem that I need to fix logically or I have to fix emotionally? And you will respond to them differently. This is something which we learn in today's day and age. When you want to give negative feedback, right? It's just nicer way of approaching it. So instead of saying, the kids are being neglected, to say, I feel the kids need more attention. Both saying the same thing, but how you put it forward can make a big difference. And the Prophet was a master at this. He was a master at using the right words, gets the same effect, but he knew which words cut deep and which words actually, you know, gets people. So like the young boy that once said, or the young man said, Ya Rasulullah, make zina halal for me. Prophet didn't say, A'udhu Billah. And let me quote for you from Surah Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do you know the punishment of zina is to being stoned to death? Is this what you want? And there's a place in Jahannam for those who commit zina. Rather, he simply said, would you like someone to commit zina with your mom? With your sister? With your daughter? Khalas, discussion over. This is how the Prophet resolved. Exactly the same, the exact same thing. He just understood that in this context, this is how the words I use. Explain how you feel, rather than blaming the person. Now sometimes, that person may be correct. But you feel, that person may, you know, for example, right? Husband is not picking up, he's not doing enough at home, domestically. He's not doing enough. For the wife to say, you are an untidy, disgusting person, would hurt him and he would respond in a negative way. But if she said, you know, I feel, you know, very tired, or I feel exhausted because of this. Husband says, I don't want to make you feel that way. So when you have an issue with your spouse, or with your boss, or with your employee, or with the imam across the road, explain how this problem makes you feel. So Sheikh, instead of telling Sheikh, you know what? You made a mistake there, and I think, the Sheikh, I don't genuinely understand this thing. I felt uneasy about that hadith you quoted. Can you please help me understand? Will respond very differently. Because the person's defenses gets up when you accuse. Now, no one can blame you for saying, I feel neglected, or I feel alone, I feel frustrated. Don't blame me for how I feel that way. Right? But you can, but the minute you attack someone and say, you do this, that person's going to defend themselves. So usually explain how you feel. In marriages, what we learn, discuss solutions. If you have reoccurring fights for years and years and years, it's the same thing. Then you need to make two decisions here. Firstly, you need to ask yourself, is this genuinely a fight? Or is this just something that is always going to be there? You know, we've always got this thing. This is the person who I have. And you just live with it. It's like your allergies. You can't fix it. You just manage it. So if you have this reoccurring problem, then understand, once you get to that realization, I'm never going to fix this problem. At best I can do, I'm going to manage it. Okay, so mom and wife are never going to be best buddies. Let me try and manage the problem. So if you have reoccurring issues like that, manage it. If it's a serious issue and you cannot resolve it, and it just becomes an emotional warfare, then you need to take the next step in maybe seeking counseling and advice. Then you say, look, we can't resolve this problem between us. We need someone external to help us. And you have to be prepared to compromise. And there's nothing wrong with compromising. Even from a religious perspective, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam compromised in places that we would regard today as major sin. Major sin. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah is a classic example. The Prophet compromised for the sake of peace. That any Muslim who wants to become a murtad, you must let them go. He agreed. But any non-Muslim who wants to become, any Quraysh who wants to become Muslim, you can't accept them. Now that's definitely an unfair agreement. But he did so for the bigger picture. Prophet understood the bigger picture. The Sahaba, even say, everyone besides Sayyidina Abu Bakr was upset about this decision. Even Sayyidina Umar went and said, how can you do this, Ya Rasulullah? How? Are we not on the haq? And they on batil, and you've basically agreed to this. No. Prophet understood that this is the bigger picture. In the end, in the long run, if these are true believers, they won't become murtad. They're not going to leave the deen, so we don't have anything to worry about. And eventually, the Quraysh will not be able to control all the converts. So this is in the long run. So look longer term than this. Compromise on this issue, but win the battle 2-3 weeks down the line. Don't, this is, and I must say this for our sisters, don't bring up old arguments. Don't rehearse and re-fight old things. Yes, you didn't, you know what? I made the mistake now, but don't bring up the mistake you made 5 years ago. That has no issue on this. We've done, we had that battle, it's over. Done. Don't bring up. And many times you'll find sisters say, I've moved on. No, you haven't moved on. If you bring it up, you have not moved on. And this is a very beautiful ayah in the Quran where Allah says, when you forgive, someone has wronged you, done something wrong, remember, you want Allah to forgive you. You want Allah to forgive, not forget, but to not to bring it, not to be, not even mention it on Qiyamah. Then you need to be the same. You have made mistakes, you will make mistakes, you are making mistakes. You're not the perfect wife, not the perfect husband. The minute we start listing our faults, all of us, then none of us are going to be married. None of us are going to have a masjid. None of us are going to be able to work together. It's about accepting this person with all their faults and their mistakes and all the hurt they caused you and move on for tomorrow. Don't live in the past. And if you cannot move on from some mistakes, some things are very big, then you need help. If you constantly are rehearsing how you if you feel as bad today as you did 20 years ago when his mom said that to you, or when he did that, you feel the same way now like you did 20 years ago, then this might be a problem with you. You might not be able to deal with your issues. Very important, guys. Don't ever expose your faults publicly. Not even to your parents, especially not your parents. And today we find Facebook and Twitter, whatever, WhatsApp is a very good place where people air their dirty laundry. You know, when someone puts up a status, the the women of Jahannam are like this. You already know there's something wrong with Ahmad and Sumayya. He's not giving this hadith for the sake of teaching the ummah hadith. Right? Or when you get that message from, oh, you should watch this bayan from Mufti Menk, it's not about being a good husband. It's not that she's educating you about the Sharia. It's to tell you about all the mistakes you've done. Right? So don't expose, don't hang up your dirty laundry online. And don't involve people that is unnecessary. Yes, you have to. The Quran says that when there is a conflict between husband and wife, then bring a third party in. So that's the next step. First step is you try to resolve things yourself. Talk about it, discuss it. You try and fix it. You can't come to a solution. It continues. Now you're going to say, look guys, we can't have this argument all the time. Let's bring a third party in. Let's bring HR in. Let's bring the imam in. Let's bring someone. But it must be someone that you trust. Both parties. I got a message from someone in the week that says, Sheikh, I want to consult with you, but I don't want my husband to know. I said, then no, then don't consult with me. Because whatever I say now, he's never going to accept it. And you need both of you on board. You speak to your husband first. Both of you need to be happy with the party that you accept. Because that person must be known that he's objective third party. And that's why it's not a good idea to bring a family member. Because they're always biased. And they will share that with other people. And I say parents are perhaps the worst people to bring in. Because while you can move on from that argument, your mom is never going to forgive her for what she did. Her father will never forgive you for the way you made her cry. Even though, khalas, you made her happy a million times, but you made her cry that one time, you will always remember that. And as a parent, we are protective of our kids. So parents are perhaps the worst people to discuss. And usually, in our beginning of our marriage, the first thing we do is we run to our parents. As we said, mentioning swear words and names. And if you get to a point where you are swearing, you are disrespectful. If marriage is making you a terrible person, you're using words you never used before, you're not a violent guy, then you need to be able to, you need to look at, and we were supposed to be called divorce, but inshallah next week we'll talk about divorce. When is the right time to get divorced? If marriage is making you a bad person, either there's a problem with you, or there's a problem with her, or together there's an issue here. And there's nothing wrong. There are many places in the Quran, many places in our history, in our Sahaba, two very good people, but when they're together, it doesn't bring out the best. Then it brings out bad. Now we said from the beginning, your niyyah to get married, first thing is to please Allah. Yes? And if your marriage is causing you to displease Allah, in the way you speak, in the way you treat this person, then you need to relook and evaluate either yourself, either fix that, or perhaps this company you keep. Now the same way, friends, maybe you're a good person, but when you're with your friends, you're not a good person. You're a good person, but when you're at work, there's bad sides to you. Negatives come. The work is so stressful, it brings out a horrible person in you. And that's where you need to look at changing things. So it's warning signs when you are swaying at one another, let alone physical abuse. If it's getting to a physical issue, you need to stop it immediately. Right? So just to jump to 19, which links to this. Sometimes, yes, we are frustrated and we want to vent our frustrations to each other. Sometimes, as a husband or as a wife, your job is to be the punching bag. It's normal. I've had a bad day. You're the only person I can scream at because I can't scream at my boss. Is here, so I can hear. I can't scream at my boss, so I scream at the wife, right? That's normal. Same way with, you can't scream at your mother-in-law. I can't scream at your mother because she's so terrible to me, so I'm going to scream at you. Sometimes we take it. We don't have to fix this problem. But you should not allow yourself to be the punching bag all the time. Because some people are constantly frustrated or paranoid. They constantly have an internal sadness. They can't deal with it, so they put it on you as the spouse. And if that's the case, and if you are that punching bag, you need to put a stop to it and say, no, this is too much now. I will allow you to be frustrated for a few minutes or hour, whatever, for this week. But once things are done, if you can't come back and say, you know, sorry, I overreacted. If you can't do that, and you're constantly sad or, you know, miserable, it's not fair on you to be that punching bag. That person needs to fix themselves. And you are not doing that person any help by allowing them to take it out on you. We say this emotionally, but it makes more sense when you think physically. So if a husband, I've got an anger issue. When I get frustrated at work, I come home and I physically hit my wife. We will say, never is that allowed. That's not allowed. And for a wife, you need to put a stop to it. It's how it goes both ways. Wife might be frustrated. She throws things at her husband. She doesn't mean it, but we say, no, this is not allowed. We need to draw the line here. You need help. You need help. Always, and last point, keep in mind the good qualities. After being all through that, Allah, remember that ayah, beautiful ayah we began last week, where Allah says, perhaps you hate something. You genuine, and Allah used the word hate. It's a strong word. Allah says, perhaps you hate something in your partner, in your wife or your husband, but there are many good qualities that come from that thing that you hate. So you hate this person, or this thing about this person. Before you make any decisions, be very clear that you know the positives. Before you pull that trigger on your marriage, on your family, on your masjid committee, on another segment of the community, on another group of people, before you go out and attack that person, or those people, be sure the good that you are losing is worth it. That I have to break this bond now, it's worth it, because, and the good that you're losing. So be very sure about the good qualities. And remember about the things that keep you together. Remember, we can focus so much on the negative, the one thing we disagree about. We can focus so much on the mas'ala that we don't agree, but you forget about the salah that we stand together 5 times a day. The fasting that we do together. That the same Salafi, mad person, doesn't want to come for maulad, is the guy that donates to the masjid. So you disagree on that issue. Compare that to all the good that you are united on. Khalas, then you realize what's important. In your marriage, the same. Yes, okay. Sometimes we need to live. This person is never going to be perfect. She's always going to have this problem in her. But when you put it next to, on the same, on the other side of the scale, all the goodness that comes from this person, you realize, you know what? I can overlook that fault because I'm not perfect. So in every argument, confrontation, whether it's in your job, whether you wanna, you're upset about your job, your boss, your employee, your customer, whatever it might be, look at the other side of the coin. This person wasn't here, what would I lose out? And inshallah, the last advice is dua. Because the Prophet says this beautiful dua. He says about his wives, Ya Allah, I have been as fair as I can be in that which I can control. I can control my time and my money. But there's an element, so don't hold me to account for that which I can't control, meaning the matters of my heart. The heart, even Rasulullah, we, as the hadith says, the heart of a person is between the fingers of Allah, in a manner which befits His Majesty. Between His fingers, He changes the hearts as He wills. Today you're in love, tomorrow you in hate, whatever it might be, right? But it's how we make that dua, Ya Allah, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun, Ya Allah, make them the happiest, most beloved people to us. Ya Allah, alif bayna kulubina, make our hearts be united as a ummah, as a people, as a community. Ya Allah, whatever it is, there are millions of reasons for us to be disunited, but there's so many reasons to keep us united. Let us see that and overlook our faults, Allah. May Allah guide all of us, bless us in our marriage. Next week we'll talk about divorce. How to give divorce, when to give divorce, the positives of divorce, the negatives of divorce, and inshallah we'll move on from there. Just a few announcements, quite a bit of announcements. First up, if you have any questions, concerns, comments you'd like to make, you disagree with me on some things, westmuhammad@gmail.com. Just use I statements when you disagree with me. I feel in your khutbah you said that, right? All right. Then next week, Sheikh Yasir Qadi, perhaps one of the most famous, most knowledgeable and prolific speakers in the English language on the Mashaykh, is coming for the very first time to Cape Town, so we hope to give him a warm Cape Town welcome. We'll make sure he has his kusisters before he leaves. So he's going to be at Masjid al-Quds for Jumu'ah next week. Then he'll have a free UCT lecture Friday evening. Let me just check the times. Friday is a free UCT lecture. Then on Saturday in the morning, you'll have a discussion on Surah Yusuf. And in the evening, a very interesting discussion on, is the Sharia compatible in the modern day and age? In deep confusion. Muslims living in a Western society, how do we balance our deen and the environment that we're in? So that's next week. Then Sunday, alhamdulillah, we have the Muharram March. Muharram is the new year. And alhamdulillah, we'll have the new Islamic year. May Allah grant that the new year be better than the last one. May Allah grant the ummah to go through better days than we've experienced, throughout the world, So as a kicking off of the new year, we take our little kids here in the book up, and we invited the orphans from the Muslim orphanages to join us. We take them around and let them be reattached to our culture, our heritage here, how deen came to this place. It's called the Muharram March. If you want to bring your kids, you can join us. And if you want to donate some toys, some food, some assistance, you can do so. We're going to bring orphans, about $80 to bring an orphan. So if you'd like to sponsor an orphan, you can speak to Buddha Talib after Jummah, you can speak to me. Then, not next week, the week after, we have our Al-Kawthar course, the 24th of September. It's a Monday, it's a public holiday, alhamdulillah. Home sweet home. How to make your home successful. How to make your from courting to marriage, to being husband and wife, to parenting. So from that point and throughout your marriage, this is the course for you. Very, very popular course globally. Perhaps Alcothar's most popular course, Home Sweet Home, very first time coming to Cape Town. So if you'd like to discuss, you can speak to me afterwards. And then lastly, our series, we're going to hit part 10 this week, Women Around the Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the wives of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Get to see him as a husband. What was he like as a Nabi, as a husband? We spoke about Aisha's age. Was he really 6 years old in our last discussion? I'm sure I'm going to have a lot of questions on that. So if you would like to be part of it, 084-222-1308. You can join free of charge on our WhatsApp line. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.